Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, and good evening, Blog
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are thankful.
I want to introduce to you right now, young Donovan. He's 11.
Okay, I'm sorry. Good evening to you Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining my sister, my friend. It is such a treat to have you with us tonight one more time. We thank God for this Monday night. I want to let you know that this program is designed to inform, encourage, uplift, and undergird all our women of all ages, cultures, and nationalities, those of educational backgrounds, business women, housewives, students, single and married, and believers in God. Tonight, we are going to go ahead and continue our subject that we were talking about last week, the reality shows and the impact that it has on our women, our youth, and our children. We have, as our guest tonight, we have Carol, who's back with us tonight. We have LaShawn back with us tonight, and we have Beverly tonight. She was out last week. She has joined in with us tonight. Ladies, say hello to our listening audience.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good
evening. Hello.
All right. Well, we thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight. And as last week, I'm going to just open up with her quick prayer that God will be with us during our talk with tonight. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity once again. Father, we ask that you just come in and be with us tonight. Open our minds, our hearts, and our ears, and help our listeners to understand what we're trying to help them understand tonight. Father, as our program goes forth, we want to give you all the glory and all the honor in everything that we do. We want you to be uplifted. God, help us to help one another, help us to love and help our sisters that are listening. Dear God, we offer a special blessing tonight on the bereaved tonight. We thank you for this opportunity once again. In Jesus' name, we say amen. So last week, ladies, we were just trying to enlighten our audiences on the reality shows that have been going forth. We had got caught up on the Preachers of L.A., and I was hoping that we would get some scriptural listeners tonight that would give us some biblical principles according to what reality shows are, if they're truly God-ordained, or does God have anything special to say about that. But Beverly, since you weren't with us last week, do you want to go ahead and open up and give us your insight on it?
Well, I was doing some research when I talked to you earlier, and I wanted to just read something by this author it was on the Internet, and said the author of The American Dream, the secret weapon for success is knowledge, so you don't know, so what you don't know can hurt you. This author was talking about the points of reality. She says, these days there's a growing trend towards reality TV shows that are based on external shadow values with the appeal of junk food. It has a powerful hypnotic effect even on the strongest minds. But while reality TV may seem like a harmless form of entertainment, the damage which is done so subtly is so powerful, and therefore it deserves a closer look. It says that the reality shows don't come as a surprise because most people like the drama. They like the living through other people's lives. It says that we live in a culture that worships vanity rather than virtue and lives by the mantra of he with the most toys lives rather than he with the most joy lives. It has been said that the circumstances don't make a man, they just only reveal him. Likewise, reality TV is merely a reflection of what our society has become, a materialistically driven society where the love of power and money overcomes the power of love. It is a reflection of a society that is not only devoid of a solid, wholesome value system, but is also separated from spiritual roots. It is also a culture that thrives on living on the edge, characterized by thrill-seeking addictions. So it's true that reality TV, which is in the business of making us feel good rather than to be good, actually contributes to the growing problem in our society by celebrating human weaknesses rather than human excellence. Reality TV doesn't empower us, but rather overpower us by taking our inner innate power and inner knowing and spirituality away from us, leaving us feeling insecure, inadequate, less fulfilled, isolated, and confused by the virtue of the promotion of an antisocial behavior, excessive self-indulgence, self-entitlement, greed, compromise, integrity, obsession with winning at all costs, and erosion in morality. Sounds like that's what reality TV is all about today to me.
Okay.
It doesn't seem to help us at all. It just seems like they're showing us that we need to have more and more stuff.
Go ahead.
So that's what I found today. It says that America could use a reality check if only to reexamine our value system, which is out of balance and has led to a social ills and failing systems and institutions. So it seems like from this article, and I agree with what she says, our spiritual bankruptcy is evident practically in every facet of our lives, resulting in social ills from perversion to the phenomenon of people going from being heroes to zero. We can no longer ignore the senseless violence in our schools and crimes on our streets, increased team suicide due to hopelessness, low self-esteem, and lack of direction and solid, wholesome value system, and substance abuse. Americans are more stressed out today than ever before, despite the fact that we have the highest standard of living in the entire world. The true reality that America is going slowly but surely from being a nation of producers and innovators to a nation of insatiable consumers. Even the holidays are too commercialized to enjoy. We are drowning in debt. So it seems like from this article, what she was saying was that we've lost all sense of spirituality. We're going for things that make us feel good. We're going for obsessiveness. And we've just kind of lost our sight. And one of the two words that popped out to me when I was doing my research for tonight is that it was two words that came out from this other article that I was reading. There was two words that came out, and there was one was temptation, which is what these reality shows bring about us. And the other one was lack of privacy. And the other, when I was looking at it, it says that the reality shows nowadays, they provide people a way of escape. They can escape and look at other people's beautiful homes and achieve their dreams through other people. And then the reality shows as temptation, and it makes people want to be, make people tempted to want to have the things like they see other people, like when you look at, what's that, Thicker Than Blood or Blood or something that show is that just came out, and then you watch the Preachers reality show, that new show that came out on the Preachers. Everything is about money. Everything is about having the best of the best of the best. Nothing's about just enjoying life for what it is. It seems like all the shows are pushing that in order to be successful and then have a good life, you have to have all of this. Nothing says anything about having a relationship with God, having a successful relationship with your family. It's all about having things. So I think that we've taken our love for things or our need for things or want for things way too far. God provides everything that we need. We don't all have to have all of these $2,000. I was watching that one from Atlanta because I thought it was a good show. I was proud to see some, I thought was successful black women. But when I found out here were women that could barely afford their next mortgage payment and they were buying $10,000 purses, it seemed a little strange for me for a woman to be on the show asking her husband on the show for child support while she's carrying a $10,000 bag that she doesn't need. It's the same as that bag that you get out of Walmart. So why would a woman that's needing child support be asking her husband for for child support, if you can carry a $10,000 purse, you can wear $5,000 shoes, then it doesn't seem like you need child support. It just seems like it's taking our value system way down the drain, and we're giving our children all the wrong ideas about how they should live and what they need in their life.
Yes, ma'am. That was one of the things that I zeroed in on also when you were reading about the greed. To me, it just seems like it's all about the money. Carol alluded last week about it was just entertainment, which I can understand, but it's also about the money aspect of it, because I was reading an article today that says that reality shows make a lot more now than they did in the beginning when they first came out, and it's the going thing in television now, and the people that they are approaching are money-hungry people. They just like, they're just greedy. They just want what they want and how much they want and how they'll do anything to get it. And according to the Bible, you're not supposed to be greedy. You're not going to accomplish anything, because that's putting your treasures on earthly things instead of heavenly things. So that's not going to accomplish anything, just like the story said of the man who had built them barns and filled them up with all of that food, and then God said, your soul is required in heaven tonight. That's what that makes me think about. You know, greed is just taking over our society, and, you know, it's making our children also, and the younger women that I have talked to or I know of, think that that's okay. You know, they need to buy their children those name brand shoes and those name brand clothes, and then they can't pay their rent. Or they don't have groceries, or they're using up the system in order to be able to do these things, which is just another greed factor. Does anybody agree with that?
It really is. I agree.
Carol?
Well, yeah, if I'd like to speak, if I may, because I'm going to be the one who's going to offer the objective point of view tonight. I am that look at good and bad, and because I believe that there's some good and bad in a little bit of everything that goes on. From a biblical perspective, I think the thing that should guard everyone, no matter if it's reality TV or whatever, the Bible tells us to guard our hearts, but it will determine everything that we do. And so I think that in terms of that is, first of all, I think you have to pick up your Bible before you do anything, before you look at anything, before you watch anything on TV, before you listen to anything. And then I think that in turn sets you up to guard yourself against stuff that probably, if you're not rooted, if you're not strong in it, that it can overtake you. It can take you to these places of thinking that I am valued by material things in this world. But if you believe that, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and they'll build your treasures upon this earth, if you believe in that more than you do what you see on TV, then what on TV can influence you. Now, in terms of the programs that are on TV, again, I say that there are a lot of bad ones, but there are some good ones. And in terms of the program about, thicker than water, which is, Ben and his wife and his kids and all of the money. And, there is such thing, such churches out there that do kind of teach off of a prophet ministry. And they speak, you know, solely to some of the scripture in the Bible that tells us that God wants us to be prosperous, that God does reward you, that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. So it's not a bad thing to gain and gather and all those types of things. The fact that they're flashy with it and whatnot, let me say this right here. They interviewed one of the people on the talk show on one of the reality programs, him and his wife, that's from Blood and Thicker, the Signal Ward, he's a pastor, they pastor a church. And someone called in and they asked him, hey, is it all about the money? And that's all y'all tend to want to promote in this. He says, no. He says, those are the sound bites that they choose to use in the show. Because, again, it is entertainment. It is an entertainment, form of entertainment. You've got to keep that in perspective, I think, when you're looking at things on TV, that it's not your reality. Your reality should be guided by God the Father, if indeed you consider yourself a Christian. And so he said, no, those are the sound bites that they gather to put on TV and show you all, because that's what gets people's attention and that's what gathers them. For those of us who aren't deeply rooted, that's going to get those people and that's going to take them someplace else. But again, their message is not necessarily a bad thing either. God does want us to be. And it's not about, I don't think, a greediness comes when the love of money comes. Money is not a bad thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And in fact, they got a show for that called American Greed, if you want to get on that. But the other thing is, one of the newest reality programs that has just come out is called Church Rescue. And again, here's something that's good. Church Rescue is these three white ministers who go and take on churches out there that are struggling. The church is struggling in itself, and it may be needing a facelift. The congregation may need a facelift, and the pastor themselves might need a facelift. And these three ministers went out, and I think they did their first church on this last week's program. And African-American church, small rural country area, they went to the minister, and get this, his whole focus was about building this $1.5 million church. They had this little small debilitated church, and the congregation was there, but the bank said, you got to come up with $1.5 million to get this type of church. He had a picture of this big building. But how much did they have in the bank? $40,000. And those three ministers took the time out to say, hey, we want to help you, but that African-American minister was set on, hey, I'm going to try to give me a new church, and if you're not going to give me a good new church, y'all can hit the road. And it was like, no, we're here to help you. It says to go and help your brother and reach out to those and help those who have leases. So what they did with him, not only did they give the church a facelift, but they took him and took him to a larger church and showed him this larger church. And he walked in, and he was like, oh, yes, this is wonderful. But they let him talk to the pastor of the church and say, tell us about how much it costs to run a church. He costs about $10,000 a month to raise. He said, then we've got to put a roof on the children's building. That's going to cost about $60,000. Once this minister got a perceptive of what it is to have a large church, he saw it from a different perspective then. And that goes to the whole scripture. And many sermons all of us have heard about how some things you may not have them yet because you're not prepared. God is not ready for you to have them. If I can trust you with a little, I can trust you with a lot. So sometimes it's not time. It wasn't his time to have a large church, and he needed to see that. And they were telling him in his sermons, girl, because the sermons he was doing was 4 hours long. He had everybody in their 4-hour service, and he was saying, you're wearing the people out. And they call it what they call a Baptist church. So everybody get up, you know, get the whole spirit, get take over, and everybody do the thing. And it was a beautiful thing to see that on TV because people don't know that we praise the Lord and dance and we get down to it like that. And honey, they rock the church. But it was good to see that. But they told him it's okay but you need to cut you're taxing these people to death through tithes and offering, trying to get this $1.5 million church, and your congregation is small. And if you want to increase your population in church and you want to increase and therefore have more time, break it up into two sermons and you'll get two groups of people coming, and then you'll get closer to their goal of having a larger church for the community and whatnot. And so this was a group of ministers going, and this is a reality program. All reality programs aren't bad. A lot of them have some content that's questionable. But, again, that goes back to the individual person making up in their conscious Christian mind to stay deeply rooted in the Word of God and guard what you take into your eyes and into your soul and into your spirit. If we all know, and we're watching some, and it gets to go in a certain direction, we'd be like, oh, you know what, I need to turn this off. But we all are human, too. And God, and we are nobody's perfect. We're all human. We all get in the spirit of time. We all will sit and watch something we ain't got no business or hear some stuff we ain't got no business. We all do that. But in doing so, I mean, that's why we serve a forgiving God that is going to help us out with that. But, again, it's all about the original self, your individual self, and your position in your relationship with Christ, that no matter what you do, whether it's reality television or the music you listen to or the places you hang out, you're going to make a judgment about whether or not that's going to be good enough for you. Everybody's not into reality program. It don't do everything for me. When I watch some of these programs, like Sister Beverly mentioned The Housewives of Atlanta, I watch it, and yet cracks me up that some of the behaviors I see that these women do. Atlanta is a very pretentious, it's a place where so many successful black people are, and they all do compete to show each other. That's them. You know what? If that's you, do your thing. It ain't me. And I try my very best not to ever sit in judgment of other people, because if she, you're right, she did look real crazy standing up there with that $10,000 bag asking for child support and a lot of other things she did. She looked real crazy. Like, that's the craziest thing in the world. And what a lot of people don't realize, it does make us as a people look bad, because it says that we don't know how to invest our money. You know, we don't know how to invest our money.
Okay. Well, but, thank you, Carol. Hold on 1 second. I think I have two other callers on the line that might want to comment on there. Do I have Minister Randall on the line? Evangelist?
Yes.
All right. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
I am good. Would you like to jump in right now and give us a little tidbit of what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, everyone had very good perspectives, you know, and viewpoints on the topic of reality shows. So I don't argue or dispute anything that's been said tonight. But, you know, when I think about it, and knowing that we are not perfect, but when I think about what God's plan is and God's word is, and how he wants us to be, even though we may not be there where he wants us to be at. And I just listening in, I just begin to evaluate my personal life, my walk with Christ. And the scripture that came to my mind was when the scripture tells us that we have be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And after accepting Christ, I posed the question, should the things that made us laugh in our sins, or that we consider entertaining in our sins, entertain us after we've accepted Christ? So that's a question that I ask. You know, should the things that we thought were funny when we were kids or teenage women, or, you know, should those same things be funny to us, or should our souls be grieved by the behavior that they display on these television shows? Should it be entertaining to a woman of God? And just listening, and now I have watched some of the shows. I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of any of them, but I would be lying if I haven't watched some of the shows that come out today. But for the most part, I'm very seldom able to even get through an entire show, because if you had asked me, you know, years ago before I knew Christ at this level, I would have been dying laughing, thinking it was just hilarious. But it saddens me to see how people, just in general, they share their very private lives, their very personal lives. And so, I mean, for the women of God, you know, that are on the line tonight, I mean, I guess that's the question. After God has changed us, we've been renewed, our mind, the way of our thinking, the way we're living. The Bible tells that all things become new. That would include our sense of humor. That would include our entertainment. So as women of God, should this be entertaining to us? And what type of example are we setting for the world if we are watching and they're recording us as viewers, and we're giving them ratings based on us viewing these audience? And in the Real Housewives of Atlanta is one I'd like to use an example. In my personal opinion, they talk about very inappropriate topics. I mean, they take it to the extreme on that show when it comes down to just the – you know, the bedroom topics that they have, and just what it exposed people to. So I guess I ask that question, Sister LaChandra, what do the women think? I mean, are we doing the right thing? Are we strengthening the hand of the wicked by taking part in these shows? Should we be praying to be stronger so that we don't get caught up in this kind of stuff, whether we're taking it and applying it to our lives, or if we're just watching for entertainment? How does God really feel about that? And what could we or what should we be doing differently as women of God as it relates to the reality show? So those are my thoughts. No more questions than feedback. So I'm just interested in just like, you know, what do some of the other women of God really feel about it? When you take that deep spiritual look at it, how do you feel about it? Does God convict you when you watch those type of things? So those are my thoughts.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your thoughts and your comment, and that is a very thought-provoking question that you've asked us tonight, and it really makes us, I'm going to speak for myself, makes me think about it, because I don't watch reality shows because I don't want to get that kind of mentality in my spirit, or just the spirit of the reality shows in my spirit. So I'm not going to say that I'm all the way just Mr. Holier Than Thou, or I'm just a big mature Christian. So that's the reason why I don't watch it, because I know what will affect me. I know that some of that stuff is not, it does not appear right to me biblically as a Christian woman that I'm trying to be and walk in the light of Christ. So to me, if I'm not able to handle it, in which I don't think I probably wouldn't be, because I don't like it, so I don't watch it. I just, that's just not one of my things that I watch. Now, I can do all the TV shows, CSI and stuff of that nature, investigative stories, and my husband's got me hooked on the History Channel and stuff like that, which will teach me. But just listening and looking at reality shows is just, it was just not in my spirit to do. And I don't, I'm not trying to be, you know, just real out there, but it's not for me. It's just not for me. So does anybody else have a comment? I see we have someone on the line with the extension 3376. Would you like to comment tonight?
Oh, hi, I'm LaShawn's mother.
Oh, hi, LaShawn's mom.
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Okay, do you have a comment tonight?
Well, I just come in and I was listening.
Okay. Well, what about the question that was posed by Ms. Wanda? What do you think, or is becoming a Christian woman, are we allowing ourselves to look at that, or how do we depict it as we go forward? What would be your comment on that? Do you have a comment on the question that she posed?
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
Wanda, would you ask the ladies again what your question, please, so they can kind of think about it a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about it, because as I stated for those who didn't hear, I'm not a reality TV, like, follower, where, you know, you can't wait Wednesday night or whatever night it comes on, you watch your show. But I have watched, you know, several of the shows, more like the introduction of them. And sometimes I'm convicted, you know, just by the things there. And at first, I would also like to say, I'm not a follower, and there's nothing that I've seen on the show that entices me to do anything that they're doing. So I'm not weak in that area. I understand the difference between reality and fantasy, and I understand my reality. But I was just asking the women of God on the line, you know, when we look at it from a biblical perspective, just taking everything else out of it, you know, and just look at it through God's eyes, how do we feel that God feels about us watching this type of show? Are we strengthened in the hand of the wicked? Have we been renewed if we really find this type of stuff entertaining? The other question I ask is this a trick of the enemy to get the women of God caught up in stuff where we focus on this type of stuff versus kingdom building? So those are questions I was just asking to try to get some of the views from the other women. What are your thoughts about it?
Okay, so you're asking basically if you feel like if we look at it from the God's perspective, from like a holy perspective, is that okay? No, some of the reality shows are not okay. Well, really, none of them are okay, but this is, that's the reality that they are living in. That's not the reality that we're living in. And we don't know, like, their relationship with God, so I can't judge them by what they're putting on TV. And no, I don't find it amusing myself, but again, like I said, that television, and we can't stop television shows from coming on. So, yeah, I mean, you have to choose, you have to pick and choose what you watch as well as you pick and choose what you do every day, you know. You pick and choose where you go. So, I mean, with the reality shows that are on, they don't make me feel as if, like she said earlier, greed, the reality TV shows you greed and how to really just be stuck up and stupid. If you ask me, that's my viewpoint of it. The reality shows are silly. it make you spend money. Like she said, they ask for child support, and they have $5,000 to $10,000 bags and shoes. It's teaching a lot of young women to deal with, to focus on money issues and what life is really about. We know that in real life you don't actually focus on, how much something should cost. You can get a little bit of something and be okay with it, but they're teaching you that you have to get something that's a whole lot of money, and it still looks the same as the cheap things does, but just because you pay a whole lot of money for it, it's supposed to be something special. And I mean, it's terrible when you actually think about it. It's just really, it's not reality. It's silly.
Right.
Okay. But what about the status quo that it presents you with? You know, if you walk around with a Gucci bag or, you know, a Dunes Birkin or whatever name brand bags are today, does that make you more than somebody, or does that show you that, you know, you're with the hippest stuff and just because you can afford it, you got it, and then you flaunt it? And, you know, what is that? What, you know?
No, I have a Gucci bag, but my Gucci bag didn't cost as much as theirs did because I probably got it secondhand. That's called spending for nothing. You don't go out and you spend income that you don't have for stuff like that. The reality of the real world is, if you can't really afford it, don't go get it. You know, you have to know real life exists besides these shows and besides these materialistic things that are out there in this world. You have to know your limit, and I mean, you have to live by your own means. But like I said again, we're not supposed to be ashamed if we do have the money to buy those things. We're not supposed to feel sad because we bought them and other people can't afford them. But I mean, you know, I told you I stand very firm on that, because I mean, I'm not able to buy a whole lot of things. I'm not able to buy a whole lot of things, but I don't get upset when other people do. And I can't watch other people spending. And but like I said, Jehovah know everybody. Jehovah God know everybody, and they have to have their own relationship with Him. We can't look down on Him for doing it. I mean, we just know that He looks silly from my viewpoint. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. I understand. Beverly, go ahead. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, I like to answer the question that the minister, she brought up. And like I said on the first show, part one, you know, most of the fact that, like I said, LaShonda, maybe more than anybody knows my background educational-wise, you know, I'm a social science and sociology degree-minded. And so my whole perspective of looking at these shows is just observing the human behavior. I said it is a form of entertainment. Is it my form of entertainment? Yes, I find something entertaining. Yeah, I do. But it is a form of entertainment for most people. But for me, like I said, I've been watching the behavior of human beings since I was a little girl. I've always been intrigued by it. And this reality program TV stuff, you know, some of it's fake, some of it is real, but it is an ability for me to sit down. Basically, I'm probably doing what a lot of people are not doing. I'm sitting there going through, you know, the mental disorder book in my mind, thinking, okay, she's, you know, narcissistic, and this one's right here is a disabled behavioral disorder. I got all kinds of stuff running through my head when I'm watching these things. And as far as And is there a conviction there? Yeah, because a lot of times when I see some of the behaviors of these women, I'm inclined to pray for them myself.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to pray for anybody who is, you know, is out there that would sell themselves and extort themselves for anything of material value. And so when I do watch those things and I tell myself, I got to tell you right now, and that's real, and this is the real talk, when I do see those types of things, you know, I'm not there being like, ooh, trying to find out how to be like that or, you know, or anything like that. I'm a humorous person. So human behavior and some things that I find are funny that people do, and we're not talking about, I'm talking about that, and yeah, that I laughed at when I was younger and older, because it's the same thing. And you know, there are people in our family. Some of us could have a reality program in our house if some of the stuff we laugh at and do in our home. You know, people would find it entertaining, probably, because you know, we'd be over here, you know, everybody at our house acting, having a good time when we get together. But I do find, I'm inclined to find myself, you know, sort of feeling sorry for a lot of times for some of these women and what they do. And I love my sister, her spirit about, you know, I'm not going to get mad if somebody else has done well for themselves. I think somebody used the term on the TV program, favor hater. I'm not going to be a favor hater or anything like that, you know, because when God blesses me, I won't nobody be mad at me. I tend I like nice bags myself. I don't buy I buy within my range, and I don't buy them to impress other women. I buy because I like the bag myself. It's for me. I work hard. It's for me. If she don't like it, it ain't for her. I didn't buy it for her to like it. That's not why the purpose of my bag. And to me, if you wanna, that stuff doesn't give me value. It doesn't define me. It never has. It never will. You know, but when I see other women who have it going on, I'm sorry. I praise the Lord, because let me tell you, you know, we women, especially African-American women and women of color, honey, we have a double-edged sword. So, you know, it's always somebody trying to pull us down in some direction. So when we make it and have something going on, I say hallelujah on it. I'd be glad for all of that. And that's my take. But for me, yeah, it's a, you know, my social scientist mind looks at this stuff for a reason. But I am convicted of many a times to pray for people when I see them on TV carrying themselves in a way that is just not pleasing before God.
All right. Thank you so much. Beverly, do you still have that thought on your mind?
No, that thought is gone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But I do have a comment. Have a comment. When I first started watching Housewives of Atlanta, the only reason I watched it was when I saw the cast, and I saw some young black women coming on the show talking about their lives and stuff, and I was excited for them because I'm always excited when I see our people on TV. Or the movies or whatever. I don't like everything that they do. I don't like all movies. But then as you watched it, you saw them become women that you weren't so impressed with because of the way that they act, the way that they talk. And it seems that they weren't really about showing the good side of Atlanta, what the people are really about there. They were more about the money and the glamour. Now, I did see that show, Thicker Than Water, and the only thing that I noticed about that was that the father was trying to impress upon his kids to have their own livelihood, to think about not what he had or what he had provided, he earned it through music, he said, he was trying to teach them to depend on themselves and not depend on anybody else and to plan out their lives. But if these shows are not designed to teach us anything positive, they're not designed to strengthen us or anything. They're just designed to entertain you. And some of this is not entertainment. It's really, you can watch a horror movie, I would guess, and probably be more entertained. But if you feel a conviction about anything, you're supposed to pay attention to it and pull away from that thing, because God doesn't honor things that he condones with. So when he says that, you know, it's like if I watch something, I watch some of them, and they get to cursing, and as the other young lady said, how they get to talking so vulgar and talking. I've never heard women talk about what they do in the bedroom and about their bodies, and I never heard women describe themselves in such ways. It's really offensive to listen to women talk about themselves in such a way and to describe their bodily parts in such a way, and then they brag about it and they laugh about it and they talk about what they do in the bedroom. It doesn't matter whether we're white, black, Spanish, or whatever. Women have no right getting on anybody's show for any amount of money, regardless of what prestige or power or whatever you're being given beyond the money, that you get up there and you belittle yourselves in such a way that you talk about your body and you talk about other women, you call women names, and you just, you're so vulgar and you're so nasty, and it's so there's nothing to be impressed about these women or about these shows, because they don't leave anything for you to be excited about seeing them. The only thing you could do is say, oh, my goodness. Like Mother Hill was like, oh, my goodness. And I would hate for her to see one of these shows, to see that all that she struggled and all that our grandparents and stuff worked so hard to give us the opportunities to live in such a way and to have the things that we have now. When I was coming up, our parents didn't have any of the things that we have now. They didn't think about being able to get the things that we are able to enjoy today. And to hear our young black women talk in such a way and characterize themselves as bees and all these other names that they call each other, and then on the other side of the coin, they ask the men to respect them. They ask their husbands to honor them. It's so sad. It breaks my heart to hear women talk to each other the way that they talk to each other. And on these shows, they encourage it. And women just go get more vulgar, more vulgar. There's no way that God can honor these type of shows. So it's really, for me, I'm 62. It really breaks my heart to see these women talk this way. I grew up in a time when the only time you saw a black person on a show was maybe once in a great while. And those were only the shows that you got to see on very late on Saturday night, and they were only on for about 30 minutes, and you only saw them once a month. And now we have an opportunity to be on TV and be on radio and stuff, and we get the opportunity to do this, and we talk so nasty. Men talk to women with such disrespect, and then the women talk to each other with disrespect. It's no wonder that our nation is going in the way that it is. It just breaks your heart. I agree with Carol in the way that it may be about 5 minutes of entertainment on some of it, and the rest of the time you have to turn the channel, because it just breaks your heart to watch women and watch men this day talk to each other and act the way that they do.
Mm-hmm. Man, it is a travesty. I just don't like that, and I don't think that our younger people, our younger ladies, that should be exposed to that nature when they're not strong enough to overcome it, because it does not do them any good. It just gives them a weaker outlook on life and makes that hope that we have in Christ less. You know,
yes.
we don't turn around and say, God, can you give this to me without me having to go through all of this? Which can happen if you are Christ-like minded, you know. But
right.
Those are the ones that we have to reach out to, and like Wanda said, we have to pray for them. We have to undergird them and take it as we need to reach out to our sisters. That's what My Sister, My Friend is all about. We are here to undergird our sisters, try to steer them, help them go in the right direction, and to see life as it is through Christ, not through the eyes of man and not through the eyes of the world, but we want them to see Christ in their lives, and we want to help promote that growth and that structure to help them. So I thank you ladies for joining me tonight with this conversation. It's been wonderful. We thank Evangelist Randall for her comments and for being with us on the show tonight. We want to tonight do some tributes to a couple of friends of ours that have lost their loved ones. I wanted to announce to you ladies, the panel, and all those that are listening, that Minister Sonara Henderson lost her husband on last Friday night. He's gone home to be with the Lord, and we want to lift her up tonight. And Beverly, who was that, your friend?
We went to Renelle Dyson. She was an investigator with the U.S. Department of Labor. She passed about last Friday from breast cancer. She was in remission for, I think, about 9 years, and she went home to be with the Lord last week. She, one thing she used to tell me, she sent me an email, and she'd tell me that she wasn't afraid of dying. She was looking forward to going home to be with the Lord. She just, the only thing she asked the Lord was just not let her suffer too much. So I pray that he didn't allow her to suffer too much, but she was a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, praise God, praise God. I wanted to let you know that the services for Minister Henderson are on Saturday. Let me look at this, tell you exactly what's going on. I got to bring it up. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared. Give me 1 second here. Are there more announcements? The wake is going to be Friday night from 7 to 9 at the Pleasant Hill across the street from Florence in the Pleasant Grove area. The funeral will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Greater Mount Pleasant Church at 8th and Morrell. Please keep Minister Henderson in your prayers as we go forward. We need to lift her up. The body is at Evergreen Funeral Home, and his name is Pastor Dexter Powell Henderson. And we want to just keep her in our prayers and lift her up tonight before we get off the show. And also, I wanted to make another announcement that there will be a Jordan Outreach Ministries and Westmoreland Heights Community Center presents How Do I Say Thanks? Songs of Thanksgiving will fill the air, Isaiah 51 and 3. During the Thanksgiving season, we will be in the West Dallas area. Our annual Thanksgiving celebration service at Tipton Park at 3601 Magdalene Street, Saturday, November 23rd, 2013, from 12 noon to 4. Bring the kids. There will be a bounce house, face painting, old-time gospel singing, songs of celebration, dance, praise dancers, great food, great fellowship, and lots of fun. And it is free to the public. So if you are available on Saturday, November 23rd, at 12 noon to 4 p.m., they will have a spoken word. We will have OG Ministries out there and some other gospel rappers, and they're going to be giving away free clothing, and they're going to have crafts, and the kids can play basketball and go into the bounce houses and just have a good time giving thanks to the Lord in West Dallas. And if you need any further information, you can reach me at 214-505-3447. And for the callers out there tonight that didn't call in with your comment, you can still have a few seconds to call us at 310-982-4126. Do we have any other comments or
Lashonda, we're going to Granny Smith is going to be there as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so glad you told me.
Gonna,
all right, Granny Smith will be there.
Yeah. We're going to give out that home goods from Bed Bath & Beyond. So we're going to give out whatever sheets and towels and other items that we get from Bed Bath & Beyond. We're going to give those things away on Saturday.
Well, praise God. Well, thank you for that information. Carl, do you have an announcement? Or Wanda, do you have an announcement that you would like to make for the Thanksgiving week or so?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Wanda?
No upcoming announcements. Thank you.
All right. Well, we want to let you know that that's what we'll be doing. I will probably be attending the funeral. Then I should come out there once that it is over. So praise God, and I have to be with my friend because that's one of my girls.
Yeah.
I love her dearly. Praise God. I hate that for her loss. But I talked to her earlier on Sunday, and she was doing pretty good. She's well as to be expected. But like I said, we need to undergird her and keep her lifted up because she is one of our faithful panel members, and we love her, and we want to be by her side and help her to get through this because I know it's not an easy thing to do once you love. She called him her king. Once you lose your king, I know it's not easy for her to deal with right now, but she has her daughters there with her and her the rest of her family, and his family is there. But, you know, I can't even imagine going through this. But could God be the glory, because I know that he's able. He's able
yes.
to keep us. I know that he's able to take us through. We have strength through him that strengthens us. We love that. We would love you, Minister Henderson, if you're listening. God bless you, and just be strong. I'm going to ask, I had something I wanted to play, but it's like my husband got rid of. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm going to close with this. Minister Randall, would you please pray us out, if you don't mind?
I'll be happy to. Father
you.
God, we thank you for this opportunity tonight through this great woman of God that you bless us to assemble to just have this discussion on tonight, God. Father, we thank you for the doors that you're opening, God. And Father, we ask you to be with us in this season of transition as you begin to elevate the women of God in this season, God. We ask that you protect us, guide us, God, and give us wisdom, God, so that we will be the women of God you're calling for in these last and evil days. And Father, right now, we ask that you go in outing, that you touch the heart of Sister Henderson on tonight, God. We ask that you wrap your arms around their family, God. Let them know that you are their God and that you are a God that never fails. That even in a time like this, God, we ask that you show your glory, God, and that they will be able to give you praise even in a time like this, God. God, as you move us from glory to glory, God, as you begin to open more doors for the women of God in this season, God, we ask that you continue to give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to be living examples for you, God. Help us be kingdom builders, God. We ask that you touch everyone on this call tonight, God, all the ministries, every activity, everything that you have us doing, God, every good work, we ask that you bless it on tonight, God. God, where we're weak, we ask you to make us strong, God. And God, where we're strong, we ask you to make us stronger, God. Fill us with your anointing, God, so that we will have spiritual discernment, God, and have the anointing, because we know that the anointing destroys the yoke, God. Help us to be the light for the young women, God. Help us, someone, see the light in us, God, that they may look at us and see your light shining, God. Let us be the role models, God. Let us be the reality shows, God. Let us be the women of God that our daughters, our nieces, our neighbors look up to, God, and give you glory, God. Let us be confident, God, in who we are through you, God. Let us not let what people say about us define us, God, but what you say about us define us, God. And, Father, tonight, we give you glory. We give you praise, God, and we give you honor in advance, God. And, God, this day I see doors opening, and I thank you, God, for the doors that are opening, God. And, God, I praise you in advance for the doors that you're closing, God, that were leading us in the wrong direction. And we magnify you, God, and we give you praise. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. And we thank you for your healing power on tonight, God. We know that you're still a healer. We know that you are still a healer, God. And for those on this line, God, who are struggling with sickness, who are struggling with disease, God, we bound the handwork of Satan right now, and we speak to every cancer. We speak to high blood pressure. We speak to diabetes, and we bind it in the name of Jesus. In your word, you said above all things, you wish that we prosper and be in good health. We claim our prosperity tonight. We claim our wealth tonight. We claim our health tonight, and we claim our families on this night, God. And we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we declare that it is not too late. It is not too late. Every promise that you've spoken, God, every dream, every desire, we declare that it's not too late tonight. So, women of God, hold on. Delay is not being denied. God said it is not too late. It is not too late. Get that in your spirit tonight, that it's not too late. And in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. And it is so. Amen.
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 Oh, my God. Thank you so
much. It's greater later. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Boy, I think we're good. I
just about
wrapped
it up.
All right.
Running around
this
room
with me. All right. I'm going to go ahead and play this for my friend tonight. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. Thank you for your prayer God bless you, and we will see you, talk to you on next Monday night from 8 to 9 o'clock, my sister, my friend. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. No tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life, take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's full of peace. My offering. Leave me there alone. To gaze upon your glory.
Good night. Y'all have a good evening. We'll talk later.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Good night. Thanks. Bye-bye.